They say tannoy for public address systems, biros for ballpoint pens. We say mom, apartment, elevator. They say mum, flat, lift. They end words like theater with R-E. Why? It's not theatra. They put U's in everything. Does color need a U? They are the English. We are Americans. The twain do not meet, as linguist and language blogger Lynn Murphy lays out in her new scholarly book, The Prodigal Tongue, The Love-Hate Relationship Between American and British English. Lynn was born in the U.S., married a Brit, now teaches at the University of Sussex, and joins us from the BBC studios in Brighton. Welcome.
Thank you.
And, you know, I was displaying kind of mock indignation at the differences in the language. I actually never think about British English, but you say the Brits are apoplectic about American words invading their language. Prince Charles has railed against it. It kind of set the scene for us. How are people in Britain talking about American English?
Well, you know, it is certain British people. But there's a general fear of American English coming and taking over from British English. And so when new American words appear, when British people order things in coffee shops saying, can I get a latte or something like that, people get upset because it sounds like they're not as British anymore.
Well, let's explain that, can I get a latte? You talk about tone and the fact that the British say please and thank you all the time. You set up a scene in a bus where a bus driver opens the door, pulls up and says, thank you. The person getting on says, thank you. The bus driver says, thank you for your ticket. They give a ticket and they say, thank you, four times. And when you order something, if you don't say please, how does that hit the British ear?
It sounds like you're bossing them around. And what's kind of funny is that Americans tend to have the opposite reaction, that if you say please, it sounds more urgent. And so it might be a bit more like being bossy, you know, saying do it now. So Americans say please half as much as British people do.
Well, back to the fear of American English invading British English. What are some of the words that have maybe recently come across?
British people worry about the word cookie has come over, the word French fries or just fries has come over. A lot of things to do with eating and food, because American food has become very trendy lately. But people worry about those words replacing good old British words. So, you know, that they'll now say cookie instead of biscuit. That's not always what happens. Often the new words carve out their own little place in the British ecosystem.
Or the words that Brits think are Americanisms are not.
Yeah, often that's the case. So something like sidewalk, which the British usually say pavement, closet, where the British would say cupboard or wardrobe. Those things came over to America with the settlers, and then they were forgotten back in Britain. And now when they're heard in Britain, people think, oh, it's those American words coming over. But really, it's just, you know, the old words coming home.
Boomeranging. Bumbershoot for umbrella
is not a British word, but it gets represented as a British word in a lot of American representations of Britishness. So in the film Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, they're saying the word bumbershoot as if it's a British word, but it's not. It was Yale College slang in the 1920s, 30s, and somehow people started assuming it was an English word because it was unfamiliar and it had to do with rain.
Well, and because it's kind of cute.
And, yes.
And Americans, you point out, tend to think, oh, those Brits, you know, they say things like lovely jubbly and mad as a box of frogs. But you point out Americans say lickety-split and discombobulate and hootenanny. I mean, we have our own.
We've all got fun words. But among Americans, there tends to be this feeling like British words are a bit puzzling and silly. Whereas in Britain, the stereotypes of American words tend to be more that they are redundant or a bit incorrect.
Well, this goes all the way back to the fact that we fought a war and we separated from the motherland. Noah Webster, who wrote that Britain's linguistic preferences were not to be emulated because the taste of her writers is already corrupted, her language is on the decline. And he was part of a move to discourage the new Americans from adopting certain kinds of British English.
Yeah, so he didn't want us to keep on trying to sound like aristocrats, you know. So in Britain, it's always been the language of the upper classes that's been emulated. And in America, we were supposedly getting rid of that sort of aristocratic class. And therefore, we needed a new way to speak that wasn't sort of bowing down to that part of society. He also felt like we needed to be united, and so we should try to get rid of the differences that we had because people came from different parts of England or were developing different ways of speaking in different parts of the country. So he also was looking to standardize what Americans did.
What were some of the words that he instructed people not to say?
He was very concerned with the spelling system. So he was trying to get us to use spellings like color without the U, or theater with an E-R rather than an R-E. But he went even further than that. He wanted us to spell is as I-Z and tongue as T-U-N-G. So a lot of the changes that he wanted to make happen, he didn't make happen. But still in England at that point, people were arguing whether color should have a U or not. And so Americans went one way and Britain went the other.
I'm sorry, but that's the one that just bothers me the most. But again, the Brits hold on to it because, as you explain, you speak the way the people around you speak and you want to hold on to the ways that you have spoken.
Yeah, your language is a link to the generation before you and the generation before that.
And yet, you'd think that there'd be even more erasing of the differences because everyone's on the internet.
You'd think so. But part of what's happening is that people are trying to put out their own identity. And so if you're spelling on the internet, the way that you can show what country you're from is to spell a certain way. We've seen in the last sort of 30 years an increase in British people spelling words like realize with an S instead of a Z. That was always something you could do in British English, but it wasn't something you had to do. And now that they're interacting with Americans more and more British people are seeing the S as something they have to do in order to show their Britishness.
Here's some more of the differences. Americans speak of Kleenex, Band-Aids, Styrofoam. The British generally call them tissues, plasters for Band-Aids, polystyrene for Styrofoam. Britons play sport, not sports. They pay tax, not taxes. They get toothache, not toothaches. We actually have a difference on the way we say math. Brits say maths with an S, not
yes.
Math. What's that like for you as an American? You've been living there a while, married to an Englishman. You have a child. Are you still brought up by saying something or hearing something that is unfamiliar?
Well, I hear things that are unfamiliar all the time. You know, every time I go to an administrative meeting at the university, someone will use some cliche I've not heard before. So I'm always noting things down, learning new things. But at the same time, because I do live in this culture, because I want to be understood, and because I don't want to be made fun of every time I open my mouth, I say maths. I say herbal rather than herbal. My vowels have shifted a bit. I say my T's more sharply. And that's all because of living in it.
Yeah. Well, we can't let you go without addressing schedule. Just the history of the word, why it's schedule and schedule.
Yeah, the word was originally sedule, and then for some reason people started spelling it differently in the 18th century. And so it was spelt as we spell it now for a while before anyone knew how to pronounce it. And so people debated, should it be like this SCH in school, or should it be like the French were pronouncing it in schedule? And Americans went one way and the British went another way.
Linguist Lynn Murphy, her blog, Separated by a Common Language, her book, The Prodigal Tongue, The Love-Hate Relationship Between American and British English. And if you want to know how heated it can get, here's just two examples she gives us on Twitter. At British Logic proclaims, people who spell color without the U don't deserve to live. You also quote Homer Simpson as saying, English, why would I ever want English? I'm never going to England. Just great. Lynn, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, Lynn spoke of the British thinking sidewalk is an American word. Here's English comedian Michael McIntyre on a talk show explaining it's basically because Americans are, well, stupid.
So they've taken the English language, but they've looked at some of it and they thought, no, I think we need a little bit more explanation here. Okay? That's my American accent. So things like pavement. So they can't work with pavement, so they've changed it to sidewalk.
Yeah.
They needed more information. They needed to know where they were going to be walking so that they wouldn't get run over.
Ah, Mike, we have the last laugh because we have Lynn Murphy, who just explained Sidewalk started in Britain. To see that full video and an excerpt from Lynn's book, or to join the linguistic smackdown with your own pet peeves, go to hearandnow.org.